Next on the line, we have Lyle Smith, Underfloor Heating Director of Central Heating New Zealand. Good morning.
Good morning, Stan. Good morning, Hamish.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for taking time out on your Saturday to join us on the show today.
No, it's a pleasure.
You're a central heating specialist. So why central heating?
Well, central heating is the nicest way to live in a home. It's proven around the world. Everyone does it apart from the Australians, the South Africans and the Kiwis. So it's well proven throughout the world, and it's a lovely way to live. Some would say it's not as cold in New Zealand, but houses, there's no doubt that they are freezing inside because people don't heat throughout the home. They only heat one area.
So talking about pinpointing exactly a definition of central heating, do you want to give us a rundown of this is coming from underneath the floor we're talking about?
Yeah, there's several different sorts of central heating. Typically, central heating has been based around a central unit that heats water, and then it's pumped out to either radiator panels or underfloor water pipes that heat the home from the one heat source, but it's distributed out through those pipes or radiator panels. So that's the most common form of central heating. There are other forms. There's ducted heat pump central heating. There's gas ducted central heating. But they don't. They haven't coined the phrase originally, and they're not as comfortable. So it's kind of well known that central heating is a water-based style of heating for a home.
Yeah, see, to me, central heating's the dream. I mean, it maintains the house at that given temperature you set it at. So if you like a house at 20 degrees, you fire it up and it just turns back on to maintain that temperature. So there's like that initial cost when you warm it up and fire it up for the first time in the concrete slab or, whatever system you've kind of got going on. But after that, it's a relatively cost-effective way if you just leave it. Do you think that part of the problem we've had is that Kiwis have always had, if you're not using it, turn it off or put on a jumper? So I've heard this with like electric underfloor heating. People would be flicking it on, firing up the temperature, and then turning it off at night and doing it again the next day.
Yeah, that is the case. There's a difference between a startup load and a maintenance load, and a maintenance load is much less than a startup load. But yeah, look, it comes from our history of just heating one room and putting a jersey on and shutting the door so the rest of the house down the hall is freezing. Mm. So it is a bit of a thing. And look, it's not the only form of heating that stacks up economically is a jersey. Everything else is a cost. You're putting money in, but you're getting so much back when the benefit is health and just a nicer way to live. And that's the thing that Kiwis haven't experienced, so they don't realise the benefit. But straight away, your kids won't have snotty noses. You'll feel great when you come home, when you come in through the back door and it's warm, and you go out through the front door and it's warm, evenly heated throughout. It doesn't have to be overheated. Mm. It's just an even heat. And I think our singular heating appliances tend to overheat one area, and of course it doesn't flow to other areas. A lot of people think that heat will flow through a house, but it doesn't. It's lazy by nature. It rises up and it doesn't go through doorways.
So if we're thinking about designing our central heating within our house, what is the key then?
Yeah, it's a good question, and often we get people coming once the plans have been designed or as the house is being built and say, can you fit central heating? It's always better to have that that design put in first, so we get the components in the right place, the optimum place. We can always do an adequate system, but it's nice to do an optimum system by having the license or the freedom to position radiator panels or underfloor water manifolds in the right place for the cheapest install and the best running cost. But that doesn't always happen. So, yeah, just a wee bit of chat before the design's finalised is well worth it.
Well, within that, say if we've already got any existing home, obviously we're not going to have pipes within the slab then. So what are the other options there then?
Sure, yeah, so existing homes, there's a couple of options. We tend to do more radiator-based systems, so water panels on the wall, and we run the pipes either under the floor space, if there is room, or within the ceiling space and down the walls to the radiator panels. Or we do have a premium overlay underfloor heating system for existing homes with concrete floors or wood floors. That's an 18-millimeter panel that simply lies over the top of the floor, underneath the floor coverings. Yeah. And that's got water pipes in it, so it is able to be done retrofit underfloor heating.
Hey, what's the most cost-effective system to look for? You know, I mean, I'm assuming in certain places are going to have gas, you know, available in the street.
Yes.
You know, what's the best?
Yeah, it depends on where you live in New Zealand. I mean, the thing is with North Island, and it's very well an unknown fact that you have natural gas there, and there's nothing better, unfortunately. It's 10 cents a kilowatt hour. It's the cheapest there is. In the South Island, we've got LPG gas. It's at least double that price, 20 cents a kilowatt hour. So if you've got natural gas on tap, you wouldn't go anything else, because the capital cost of a natural gas system is the cheapest of all, starting from about $10,000 for a standard house.
Yep.
For the installation, and maybe 50 or 60 bucks a week to run. That's fantastic.
Wow, is that all? In winter, yeah. $50-$60 a week. It's pretty
yep.
good.
Yep, you can't go past it. For where we don't have natural gas in New Zealand, and there is, you know, obviously all of the South Island and the outlying areas of the North Island, where we then go to different appliances. Diesel boilers are very, very common. Sounds bad, dirty word, but diesel is actually a very clean burning fuel and readily available. So again, about 12 cents a kilowatt hour, a little bit higher than natural gas. So that's a very popular thing. And then the air-to-water heat pumps are really probably the future, because the government's pushing us towards that electrical consumption. And so those are very good too, but a higher capital cost. So talking around about the $16,000 to $18,000 for a standard house, capital cost and running costs about the same, around about $50 or $60 a week, between sort of $5 and $10 a day, something like that. Depends on the size of the house and how hot you like it. There's a lot of variables, but those are the options. And then there's some other ones like wood pellet boilers or geothermal heat pumps. And we do both of those, but they have high capital cost for their greenness or low running cost.
Right. Now, you touched on a little bit of what the government's going to do. And, you know, there has been talk recently about getting rid of fossil fuel burning, you know, getting rid of the old mm-hmm. gas bottles on your barbie and all that sort of stuff. If someone is thinking about, you know, building a new house or designing a new house, should we be taking that into consideration for, you know, dare I say it, future-proofing our build?
Yeah, good point. The thing with the water-based central heating system is no matter what happens with technology, whether gas is depleting, and it is, but it's still there for a very long time, we have the option of changing out that central heat source,
right? Yes.
And replacing it, and we've still got the same delivery system within the house. So we're doing that currently a lot, where we're replacing sometimes older appliances or changing the fuel type, and with a few modifications, you've still got the same delivery system in the house. It's really a lifelong of the house system once it's in there. But as far as the gas goes, look, there were 15,000 submissions to the climate change report. Already there's 20% hydrogen being tested and blended into the natural gas. Gas will be here for a very long time. So really need to allay the fears of anyone who's thinking that gas is on the way out. It's here for a very long time. And unfortunately, so is the fossil fuel of the transport, the diesel fuel. We live on that. It's going to be there for many decades to come. But of course, we do need to be looking towards that cleaner, greener type of fuel. And that's why we offer quite a range, so that we're unbiased and give the customer the best solution.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, who designs your system?
Good question. Yeah. So we have a team of six designers in house that look at plans or plans drawn from an existing house, or the new plans from an architect or draftsman, and we calculate the heat loss of the house, taking into account the location in the country and the temperature the people are generally going to want in the house. And we design and specify the system for the frequency of the pipes in the slab, or the size of the water panel radiators on the wall. And once we do that, we supply that back to the customer and the installer in the local region that's going to do it, and guarantee that system once it's put into that design.
Well, that's been a wealth of knowledge. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, Mr. Lyle Smith.
Yep. Hey, no problem, guys. Have a good day. Lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, good man. Cheers. Thank you very much. That was Lyle Smith, as I just said. He's the director of Central Heating New Zealand. They're based down in Christchurch. But
you've had Central Heating, right?
Yeah, I have. I had in one house, which is still in it, is a ducted heating system.
Yep.
It was an old, you know, 1905 villa. and it was a gas, the system was Brivis, and you have a gas heat pump, I suppose, whatever you call it, outside, and it pumps through massive big flexi pipes underneath, and it delivers it through a grill in each bedroom.
A little space for the kids to put little treasure down.
Yeah, actually, Carly and I were talking about this last week, and it is very good. It is very, very good. The thing I like about it is if no one's staying in a particular room or a bedroom, you can shut that vent off, so you're not
wasting it.
Yeah. But it was a bloody good system. I mean, but one of the best things you can do, if you can't afford heating systems, the least you can do is put some insulation in your ceiling. 30% of your heat is lost through your ceiling, and 20% is lost through your floor. So, you know, by putting underfloor insulation in, which you can do yourself, or you can get guys in to do it, it's a great thing to do.